Hello and welcome to episode 223 of The Cool Room. I'm your host, David Griffiths, and boy, there's a lot going on in Cool Room land at the moment. An excellent episode coming up today, but so many things that you can join us both in the flesh and online coming up in the next couple of months. Today's episode, a very fun one. We're going to be chatting with old mate Blake Willoughby from the local brewing company. People who've been around the brewing scene for a while will know Blake from all sorts of things, from doing shows at my old bar, Mr. Griffiths in Kensington, back in the comedy festival days, 7 or 8 years ago. Then Blake's been at some other breweries along the way, now at local. A lot to talk about with him, both in his beer journey. And if you don't know local brewing company and the very, very special philosophy that they have behind what they do, it's a really interesting story, and I hope you'll stick around for that. Why have we got him and why have we got that brewery on? Well, because they're going to be one of the four breweries which are going to be at the Hair of the Dog Breakfast, which is tickets are selling for now. Anyone who's in Melbourne and into craft beer will know about the Hair of the Dog Breakfast, always held the day after the beer award ceremonies, and a tradition that's been going back 10 years or more. The Cool Room's been involved for a number of years. We're going to be going down to Beer Deluxe, and we're going to be having Talina Menzies create an absolutely fantastic lineup of food. If you've not been before, check out some photos of our previous ones. We'll be posting them online. It's a magic morning, just an absolutely lavish breakfast. Four great breweries, local being one of them. I thought we'd just do 10 or 15 minutes. We ended up having about an hour-long discussion, so that's what today's episode is entirely dedicated to. But it's not just local brewing. We've got co-conspirators who are obviously good old friends of ours. We've got 2 metres tall, and we've got the wonderful Dollar Bill, who often front up the day after that they've won all their awards the night before and bring some of those award-winning beers. The brewers there are there, the reps are there. It goes for a couple of hours, so you get to hang out and talk to all of them. Food to match the beers, and it's just an absolutely classic day in the Melbourne craft beer scene. So please come along and join us for that. Tickets on sale now. You can find that event on our Facebook. You can Google it and get your tickets. They will sell out. There's no two ways about that. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, grab them. Talk about other things that sell out. Talk about other fun collaborations that we have coming up. Well, in terms of online shows for the month of April, we've got some old friends returning. We're going to have Three Ravens Brewing joining us on the evening of April the 18th in the Zoom room. Come along and be part of that. Four great beers, talking to the team there about their creation of those. And one of those beers is out of last year's Black Box, the collaboration that the Cool Room does with Carwin Cellars. And before the team from Three Ravens come on the 18th, earlier in the night at 6:30, the team from Carwin are going to come on. Tito's going to be there. Ben's going to be there. And we're going to be revealing the breweries which are going to be part of the 2024 Black Box. Black Box is just 12 classic beers. When I say classic, they're going to become classics because they're all going to be original for the box. Big, dark beers, an amazing lineup of breweries, and some, I can promise you, truly outstanding beers. Can't wait to talk about them. All of those brewers are going to be on the show when we get to that time of the year. Time just about to get your orders in for those. You can get them through the Cool Room Shopify, or you can get them from Carwin. Just classic beers. So we're going to be talking about that with Three Ravens on the 18th. And then on the 25th, the night of the 25th of April, Evan Craney from Bright Brewing is going to return to us, not just to talk about some great beers, some limited releases, some great core range beers, pack available now in our Shopify, but also because Darker Days Festival is coming up. Evan's going to be coming along and talking to us all about what that involves, and the Cool Room podcast is going to be up at Darker Days Festival in Bright, getting to share with you all of those things, but we'd love you to join us in the flesh up there. Jump onto the Bright Brewing website, jump onto their Facebook page. You can find out more about that. As I say, April, May, June, July, packed with outstanding beer events here in Melbourne, Victoria. We want to share all of them with you. So join us, not just for the podcast, join us in the flesh for those live shows. Grab the beers from our online store and you'll be able to have a great time. Just like the great time that we had last night at Local Brewing, not just Blake returning to the show, but also, as you will hear, a very special new co-host. Don't worry, Mr. Warren Wu is going to be back for Bright. He'll be there for Three Ravens, but a special new co-host, Look, let's go over to the wonderful local brewing company right now and start that interview. Well, I'm out on location now, out with local brewing company. We're going to have an excellent talk as we get ready for the Hair of the Dog breakfast at Beer Deluxe. You've already heard how you can get your tickets. There's few things that I enjoy more about than coming to one of my favourite breweries, but today, extra enjoyment because I've got a guest co-host, and just by sheer good luck, he's got local in his actual name because he's known as Local Cam. And here we are at Local Brewing. Local Cam, welcome to the co-host seat of the podcast.
It is good to be here. Thank you, David. And I've got to say, it's a stout time you've had me on, got me on the show.
It says, you're checking your phone notes. Was that stout joke the best thing you've brought to the table tonight?
Look, it's the yeast I could do to bring a couple of jokes like that to the table. But I am known as Local Cam around here. We're in Clifton Hill, sunny Clifton Hill, a beautiful rainbow this evening at the Local Brewing Co.
And, I got to enjoy that rainbow in the slowest Uber ever. So I got to savour every single photon of that bloody rainbow.
This is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, though. This is a hidden little gem in Clifton Hill, which I was only exposed to relatively recently through you. I should thank you and the Cool Room podcast for that. And it is a ripper out here, and I'm so glad that I've been able to discover it.
We're going to have so many good things to talk about. We're sitting here enjoying a pint at the moment. We're going to have Blake Willoughby on in a second, and he's a very long-time friend of the podcast. We're going to talk about his journey to end up at Local. We're going to talk about some of his favourite beers that are on tap here, and then we're going to do a bit of Hair of the Dog spruiking. But I want to know, Local Cam, apart from the fact that you are local, how did you get that nickname?
Well, there had to be a differentiation because back when the Royal was operating in Clifton Hill, there were a couple of Cams in our group, and the other guy had blue shoes, so he was Blue Shoes Cam, and I think they got less creative with me and just called me Local Cam because I kept turning up. So there's Blue Shoes Cam, who's a ripping bloke, and Local Cam.
Now, the remarkable thing about that, for anyone who knows Cam, and I know there's going to be people who are listening specifically to hear from you, that you weren't wearing the blue shoes, or that you weren't the one who was wearing the more outrageous just bit of clothing generally.
That's true.
You are known for your sartorial elegance, both in the CBD and out in
Clifton
Hill.
Pretty hit and miss, I'll be honest. But, there are worse things to be known for.
Well, you, I know, because I've been in your cellar come dungeon area at your house, have been having a couple of goes at podcast pilots.
Yes.
But here you are doing the real thing. And I thought it would be good. We're going to have our old friend Blake Willoughby on the show. But I thought in a second, Cam, we're going to get you underway. And we're going to pretend that you've never met Blake before and that you can talk to Blake about his background. But let me be the one to say, Blake Willoughby, welcome back to the Cool Room podcast.
David, thank you very much for having me. Third time's the charm.
Third time is the charm.
Thank you very much. Do I get it? Is there a badge or a special shirt or is there something?
It's like SNL. You've got to get to five.
I've got to get the jacket.
You've got to get to five to
well,
get the jacket.
I look
jacket.
Forward to get that smoker's jacket down the road. Hopefully still at Local then. It doesn't need a change to be on
well,
back
there,
again.
There we go. See, that's almost the introduction that we need for Cam to say, how have you got to the brewing industry? So let's talk about how we are here tonight.
Yeah, I am fascinated, Blake. And, you know, for all the listeners of this wonderful podcast, I don't have to pretend too hard to ask these questions because we did only meet a few minutes ago.
We did only just meet. Yeah, but David and I go way, way back. I've mentioned that before on the pod.
But I am looking forward to meeting you many more times now that you're right in my little patch of the world as well, this wonderful establishment. But
I can't wait to see you, mate. I mean, Local Cam, we've got to deck you out in a bit more merch, hey? We'll love you leaving here and everyone will know exactly who you are.
I've got the cord hat and I'm on my way. So I've started.
We'll get your shirt size after in a little bit.
Yeah, like big in the guts and ET
we
side.
Accommodate.
Like
don't
ET.
Worry, don't worry, we accommodate.
But David did tell me who we would be talking to on the podcast this evening, and I'm fascinated to know, like, it's comedy festival time now. Your time to shine, I imagine. How does one start off combining a love of beer with stand-up comedy?
Well, it's been a long time since I've done it. COVID definitely put a bit of a dampener on it in those days. I think we talked about it back then. But, yeah, it's been a while since David and I met. It was during the comedy festival one year. It was doing the my Brewed Thoughts show with the brewed beers and a bit of stand-up around the beers.
Mr. Griffiths in sunny Kensington.
Alibis and libations.
Alibis and libations in the city of Melbourne. There you go. We've hit all the key talking points there.
No, I mean, hazard, I guess you'll probably work this out, it being my third time on this podcast. I do enjoy a beer, and I love a bit of comedy, and combining the two made so much sense to me. And so, yeah, really sort of, I think, has helped me in my journey into a full-time sales rep. I basically do my stand-up show every day when I'm
fantastic.
Going out.
So, just testing new material on the road.
It's been a while since I've done it in front of a paid audience. Big shout-out to all the comedians who are doing their comedy festival shows at the moment. I know it's bloody stressful, but...
Have you got the itch to get back into it?
Oh, look, the itch is always there. I think if I can get down and have a good inspiration and brew a few beers on the kit, maybe I can put together a tapestry of beers and comedy at the same time.
Oh, see, tapestry?
There we go.
Where are you?
We're working.
In the writer's room.
Well, this is part of what I was going to lead into next. So is it just the perfect combination? Because people drink, they do things that are funny or ridiculous or stupid. It just seems like a rich minefield of material for you.
Is that a rich mine or a rich minefield?
No, a rich field to mine of material. But no, it can be a minefield because some of those jokes aren't going to land, you know? They're going to blow up in your face.
See, that's the thing, Calvin. If you give them beer, they're a lot more forgiving if some of those jokes don't land. So the perfect combination, I think, because, I think a few of those softer jokes go to the keeper a little bit easier. Everyone loves a laugh, don't they? Well, over a few beers.
They should.
Doing a show over it.
Great combo, by the way. Great idea.
Thank you. I don't think I was the originator of the idea, but I'm certainly haven't seen too many other people do it like I did, brewing the actual beers from scratch and everything like that to really match up with the comedy. I mean, you have a cheese and beer night everywhere, but I don't know if you have too many laughs and beer nights. So.
And you got bowls and lagers.
See, David, this is what we need. I'm
in form right now. Can I tell you?
You are.
And you've got a great setup here at the local as well, in case you wanted to bring it back, because there's a wonderful space upstairs where we're currently doing the podcast from, which is just perfectly set up for a range of different events like that.
That's it. I'll do the plug at the top end, hey?
It's already happened. It doesn't get any better than that.
we're running a bit of comedy up here during the festival. I'm going to try and keep going with functions and events up here and just really establish ourselves as a bit of a go-to place in Clifton Hill. And we're located so perfectly towards the city without needing to be right in the thick of it. And yeah, absolutely loving being here. And it's a great space. I know I'm a little bit biased, but I'm sure you guys are more than welcome to come back.
So how long have you been here for? And in addition to that, how long has the venue been up and running for?
The venue, I think I had my interview here and there were still patches and holes in this top mezzanine that we're sitting on, so I assure you it's safe now. a few splinters and nails to avoid when I first came in. Operating properly, it's probably only been, I think we're quickly approaching 12 months.
Yeah, okay. Is that all? Right.
Yeah, that's all.
I felt it might have been longer as well. You got me here early days.
Yeah, exactly right.
Griffo.
Yeah, it would have been very, very early days if you guys came in and saw it then. And I came in not too long after that. I started just in August. So obviously after everything happened with Fury and Son and everything like that. So that's where, if listeners know, recognize my voice, it was way back when on, I don't know what episode number it was.
You were there for Fury. You've been through
Two Birds. So this is definitely where I've ended up now. And honestly, I couldn't be happier. I always sort of looked at local with a bit of admiration. I think the philosophy that the guys have and wanting to give back to the community, and every pint sold is a meal for someone in need. So I mean, that's makes me feel good going out there and selling beers, which I know can be...
It makes me feel good for drinking them.
Exactly. That's it. Anyone listening, if you ever see a local beer on tap and you get yourself a pint, you can feel good about it because you know you're doing some good beyond the pint there. So
Explain that bit in detail, because some people will know exactly what the local brewing story is and that ethos, But let's spell it out really clearly for people, because there's a really big link here to an altruistic end.
I mean, a big part of obviously when the team got the brewery up and going, it was why can't a brewery do a little bit of good at the same time as producing some beers? I mean, I think the idea that the people in the brewery industry can't be socially aware or environmentally aware as well. So we have a strong focus on giving back to people, but also on sustainability and just making sure that the impact that we have out there is a positive one, not just with tasty beers, but also the lasting impact that we have. And that's why from the get-go and when it was first established, partnering with a charity like Second Bite was very important. And that's who we partnered with for this. So yeah, any four pack sold or pint sold, that's a meal for someone in need through Second Bite. And we also have big plans to become completely carbon neutral by 2025. So not far off for that.
It's getting dangerously close in terms of...
Exactly, and we're looking very good to be able to get there. And then we also have our surplus range of beers as well. People might have seen it out and about at the moment. We have a Hazy Nectarine Pale Ale, which has a strong focus on sustainability and surplus ingredients and being clever with those with that excess stock, and instead of sending it to a landfill, why not make a beer out of it instead? And this is probably my absolute favourite beer that we have at the moment is the Hazy Nectarine Pale Ale, and it's had a really, really great feedback from the community as well. So yeah, it's a bit of a, you know, one just wanted to do good. I think it's what happens when a brewery is run by a bunch of millennials. but yeah, it's wanting to have that positive impact while we're getting our brand out there, the beers out there.
And so what do you have to do to walk into a job like the one that you've walked into?
Many years of hard slogs. Yeah, I mean, it's taken me a while to end up here as the sales manager. A bit of a step up from previous times when I've been on. It's just experience in the industry.
As in, like, you've done a lot of home brewing or just at different venues?
I dabbled with brewing back in the day, and I've definitely done a bit, but I am by no means an expert on the brewing side of things. Our head brewer, who also came across from Fury and Son with me to local, he's definitely our expert brewer, and I wouldn't dare stand on his toes when it comes to talking about the brewing side.
Shout out if you're listening.
Yeah, Andrew, I'm sure you are listening, mate. I swear I won't recommend a NEPA for brewing. A long-standing joke for us, that one. But yeah, look, having a strong passion for the role, I tend to gravitate to sales. I'm a bit of a talker, so being able to go in and talk about something that I'm passionate about is an ideal situation to be with any job where you can really do what you enjoy. And now being at the most ideal place where whilst I'm doing it, I'm not just lining someone's pocket, I'm also getting
doing good
out there and stuff like that. It's really positive, and I know when I get a big deal or I get a big run on a tap somewhere, I feel great. I mean, 70 meals off of one keg, so multiple kegs going anywhere, that's a bloody great way to end the day, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it makes such a difference if there's purpose built into your work. You're not always going to have a great day or a great week, but if there's purpose like that built into your work, it's pretty fulfilling, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, I don't know if the guys thought about it when they organised everything, you know, it makes you go that extra mile to work a little bit harder, but it definitely does when you're doing a tasting and everything like that, and you're getting more beers out. You just know the positive onflow that you're creating there, and it's a great company to be a part of, and I think it's a great little movement to be a part of as well, where any of the beers from the range are going to do that good.
And so I don't know if this is something they would have thought about when they were setting up as well, but you mentioned going carbon neutral in a pretty short time frame. I would imagine most, you know, new local breweries like this are just flat out setting up and getting the thing up and running. Did they set it up with that in mind to transition to that? Or how hard is it for a brewery to move to that carbon neutral space?
Look, I think if you're about 8 years deep into the business, you probably might have a harder time.
Yep.
Local's been operating for about 5 years, and getting this space set up, it was always the goal to have solar panels across the roof and make sure there's plans for all of our waste and everything like that. So yeah, from the get-go, that was always a big important part of getting any aspect set up, which again, there's another positive reason to be around and working for a company like that.
So, yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
And interesting information for anyone who's into warehouse ownership, let's say, to sort of get a bit of insight.
Do you know anyone, Griffo?
Only people who are local too, and I'm really testing my memory here. Kalgoorlie, I believe.
Yes.
Well, I reckon where we are, location-wise, there's not too many warehouses going that are still operating like that. Clifton Hill is full-blown warehouses, and I think turning it into a bit of a hub, we've got like some quality food here now with the food with our kitchen going, and I think if people came in earlier, it probably might have been a bit of a different view that they would have now. I think being a little bit more established and after a few months and everything kicking along, it's been going gangbusters here.
And it's a fascinating little location for any of the listeners who are going to get down here and haven't been here yet. I am local. I live around the corner, and I had no idea until Griffo called me up a few months ago and said there's a brewery right around the corner from your house. And I was like, it is just a nondescript residential, relatively narrow little street like we have around here in Clifton Hill, and bang, there's a brewery just popping up towards the end of it. It's fantastic.
That's it. I mean, I think before you guys turned up, we had someone pop by. I was like, I was walking down the street and I thought I'd have a happy hour here. So
yeah,
we do get a lot of that traffic. I think people not realising we're here and being able to jump off just before getting on the freeway also helps. But yeah, I think the whole...
You need to set up a booze bus alert, by the way, for the freeway.
That's a different discussion. it's in our name, isn't it? Local. So wanting to be that local place that people like yourself living in the area can pop in and just feel like they're at home. That's sort of the vibe that we've really wanted to cultivate here. And I think it's going really well.
Well, we've got not only now a great food offering to talk about, we've got some great beers on tap. I reckon now is the time that we should go and get a couple of those beers into the glasses. And Blake, you can take us on a bit of a journey through your favourite local beers. Well, we sent Blake downstairs to get us two beers. He's come up with four beers, so we're going to have an excellent little tasting here. And I should say that for anyone who wants to go back and check out the extended mix of the local brewing story, check out episode 130 of the podcast. It makes it sound like that's all encyclopedically in my brain. It's not. I just looked it up on my phone.
Say, is that what you went off to Google? Yeah,
that's exactly what I went off to Google. And that's a very polite way to describe my bathroom visit. No, I did the Googling in front of them. I didn't do that. Although the hat merch, when I saw the hat in the mirror there, I thought, who's that good-looking bloke in the local hat?
I was standing behind you, wasn't I? Yeah.
Blake, lead us off. We've got four beers. Where do you want to start us off? And let's talk us through what we've got.
I thought I'd give you a big thing that I want to do is get people excited about what we're sort of producing nowadays and give a bit of an insight into the way we're shifting from, you know, just doing a pretty standard core range and just doing some more limited. So I do have one of our core range beers, though. Our number one seller is our XBA, so we've got that to start with. Then we have our Hazy Nectarine Pale Ale, which is our surplus range beer. That's all about using excess stock and being clever about food waste. Then we have the first beer brewed on the Tap Room brew kit, a delicious golden ale. And then right at the end, something big and red, a delicious fresh hop red ale that we did for the Fresh Hop Harvest event just this past weekend at the mill. I was the one that collected the fresh Galaxy hops from the vine in a box and drove it back home from the HBA farms up north, and I think my car smelt like the Galaxy hops for the next week, so absolutely amazing.
And for anyone who knows what hops smell like and what other plants they're related to, it's lucky that you didn't get pulled over by the bong bus along the way.
If I got pulled over, I mean, there's already enough questions today when they look in the back and see all the slabs of beer, so the smell, I think, would have just made things a whole lot worse for me, definitely.
Now, I've got to tell you, I'm a bit of a basic bitch when it comes to most of my beers. And I'm happy with a straight lager most of the times, but these are phenomenal looking and smelling. And I was looking at the menu earlier when I was just downstairs priming for the podcast, and the two middle beers you've got are ones I really wanted to try. So I'm keen to get into those and learn about them.
Yeah, well, let's do it in order, Cameron. I love the excitement, but XPA first, yeah?
XPA, yeah. Look, it's a 5%er. It really sets the tone, I think. Very approachable, easy drinking. People's buying habits have changed. I know we talked about this off mic, David, but people's buying habits have changed over the past however many years I've been in the industry, and a lot of those really big experimental beers now are still out there, but I definitely think you'll start seeing them more as keg-only options and more on site at your favourite establishments. But an XBA that people can go in, buy a top-quality four-pack and know that it's also an independent option as well, and I know that's always big for you guys, is making sure the indies get their plug. But it really, really works for us, and it's definitely our best foot forward when it comes to the range of beers that we do. Just a cracking one to start with before we get into some other.
Yeah, it's good.
Well.
I'm enjoying it.
For those people that haven't done 220 podcasts about beer, what is an XPA? Like, particularly for our overseas listeners, shout out to literally all of our listeners in Ukraine at the moment who've come on since we've had 10 Men Brewing from Ukraine featured on the show a bit. Fantastic. Explain what an XPA is, because it's a style that we see a bit in Australia now, not necessarily one you see everywhere around the world.
Yeah, it's definitely one that's become popularised here. An XPA is an extra pale ale. So really it's just a pale ale with just that extra bit more love. A little bit more base malts, a little bit more hops. Just enough to knock it up a notch, but not too much to push it into that realm of an IPA. Still perfectly drinkable in a way that you're not overdoing it. If you have two of them, you can probably have two standard drinks and you'll be feeling fine. But yes, two full IPAs, probably gonna have a bit of a tougher time. But yeah, an XBA generally doesn't go over 5.5%. Probably say pretty comfortable. I don't think there's any hard and fast rules when it comes to classifications of beers, but I'd be very surprised if I saw a XBO over 5.5%. This is 5. Just that real, real extra hoppiness, which I think is what beer drinkers in Australia really like. We love our lagers and everything like that, and I definitely could have brought some lagers up, but ales for me, and I think that's where people get to really experiment with their type of beers. It's what people love, I think, when they keep coming back for more, and the XBA's been a really, really solid one for us, and definitely a high mover that is great, because like I said earlier, the more of them we sell, the more that we do some good.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I can see why people keep coming back for it. I think it's fantastic.
Past 6 months for this one, we've increased. I know it's an interesting time in the industry to hear how everyone's doing, but yeah, we've actually increased production on that one over the past 6 months. So that, I mean, not saying that's a reflection on me starting with the brewery or anything. Humble brag.
No, but you are letting that just drop out there into the universe.
Those 10 years. It's a really solid position to be in at the moment, to have a beer that's really, people are gravitating towards. And this is definitely the one for it.
And I'm going to put you on the spot here. What hops are in it? What are we experiencing? And say for a young Cam, and I'll fill on this for a second, but for Cam, explain, what each of those hops brings to the party that's in his mouth at the moment.
It is good for me, because even though I've been, consistently drinking copious amounts of beer for 25 odd years, there's still a lot for me to learn about what actually goes into it.
Well, and it's interesting as well, because having had this beer on back in episode 130, to hear some of those stories about which hops are available, which ones aren't, and sort of see some of those changes.
Definitely. I mean, the biggest one that comes out is the Galaxy hops. It's probably Australia's favourite hop, I would say. It's prevalent in just about
every bring on the Hop Wars. All those Sabro fans, both of them will be...
I'm an old school Cascade man at heart, so yeah.
If it starts with C, it's okay.
Exactly. No, Galaxy is definitely the hop of choice in this. Look, use Munich malt as well as the malt factor. I think we sort of lose sight on what malts get used in beers. We tend to focus a lot on the hop profile, but I mean, that's what people generally taste the most of. But mandarin notes, really refreshing, just biting on this one. It's just a perfect balance of a really good, well hop brew, which, yeah, very different to the lagers you're probably used to having.
Well, I had one of your lagers earlier downstairs, and it was fine, but I'm thoroughly enjoying this.
It's good to hear, mate. Good to hear. We'll turn you into an ale man by the end of this.
And it really does. It's just the beginning of sort of autumn here in Melbourne. It's, you know, just finished daylight savings. And that little bit of sweet mandarin, you're absolutely right. It's almost mandarin skin. It's that little sort of sweet bit of oil you get out of that. And it's like, oh, I'm ready for mandarin season as well.
Or something there. Just get that extra little bit of fruitiness to it. And that's my favourite thing about hops. And I've definitely mentioned this before when I've been on, is you tell a story with your hops. It's you can... I love the fact that whatever... If you put it in at the start of the brew... start of the boil, and then, or if you put it at the end, the different aspects and notes that you're imparting on the beer is completely different, but you're using the exact same ingredient. And that's my absolute favourite aspect of brewing beer and beers in general, is the chemistry behind it. It's such an art form, and I'm really glad we've got a really, really good head brewer on board at local now. So I know I mentioned him earlier, Andrew Yarnton from Fury and Son, another Fury and Son alumni like myself, also been on the podcast before. Upset he couldn't be here tonight.
Yeah, would have loved to have had him on, but I'm sure that opportunity will come back to us along the way as well.
With the Hair of the Dog event at Beer Deluxe, he'll definitely be there imparting wisdom on his beers that he's brewed up. But having someone who's had experience, you know, not only was he a Fury and Son, but he's brewed a Cavalier, he's brewed at Hawkers, he's been at a few other places in the industry.
Has anyone not brewed at Hawkers? And I say this, but you know, I say this because I
have heard this on a few of your podcasts before.
I looked Maz in the eye when I asked him that question himself. So
he should change his business model to like beer brewing school or something like that. I think he'd a lot of people in the industry have had their part there. I mean, I've been at several breweries. I've never actually worked at Hawkers myself, but definitely gotten beers from Hawkers, and we actually contract brew the next brew up from Hawkers, all based on our recipes and everything. But yeah, they do a fantastic job when we need to go somewhere that can brew it a bit of a larger volume. It's really good.
That sounded like a segue to the next beer.
I think it was. Lead off, my friend. Let's go to our next beer, our Hazy Nectarine Pale Ale. Probably the one beer we've had the biggest impact. I mean, I did talk up the XBA sales there, but the Hazy Nectarine has been probably one of our biggest releases in a while. Local has a range of beers that we call the Surplus Range, which is all about bringing focus to reusing and really thinking about the way that we use excess stock. So in one batch of these beers, it's over a ton worth of day fresh bread, and farm fresh fruit that may not be as attractive or getting towards the end of its life with the bread. The fruit.
Explain the bread bit to me, because I don't think... I mean, I've seen old school recipes, like literally sort of medieval type recipes for chucking bread in things. Is that just where the grain bill's coming from?
Or? That's exactly it, yeah. The bread just gets the loaves of breads that we got. Shout out to Coles. They helped us out when it came to the bread for this one. We just got loaves of bread, broke it down, it goes into the tanks, and basically it fills that hole for a base malt for the brew. So yeah, you're literally drinking liquid
tip top
breads. Yeah. A few loaves from your local Coles. When we did the first batch, we've got the vans that we use, and driving around, a few of the owners literally driving around, shopping trolleys full of bread bags coming out and loaded into the back of the vans. And
the vans would have smelled very good that day, and you wouldn't have been in
there. Yeah, smelled fantastic. But then it was meticulously breaking down the bread. I think maybe one or two full loaves made their way through, and that can be a little bit difficult to be brewing with massive bricks of bread in the tank. But we just break it down and are able to use it instead of having to use full fresh malt grain. We can reuse something that, you know, people would probably toss out at the end of the day, like a Baker's Delight. And that's what this is about, just raising that awareness and being, look, we can be a little bit more clever with the way we dispose of our waste.
Yeah, I mean, I hope listeners feel the same way I do about this, but I just find it fascinating that it's such a creative, it's such a constructive sort of process, like everything it does to sort of, you know, reuse, you know, what are good materials. And for me, I mean, it's delicious, by the way. I love a fruity beer. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've had a really good feedback on this one. It's just, it goes down so well, so well. The nectarine notes are really strong. When you go and smell the hops and the nectarine just combine so well, the aroma is so strong. But then when you drink, it's very well balanced. So it's not overly nectariney. It's not overly fruit juice. It still feels like a proper beer once you start drinking. It really has resonated quite well with a lot of customers, this one.
Oh, it's a proper beer. Like, it's a ripper. And, you know, for someone like me whose only sort of connotations to do with, like, leftovers from my uni days and working in pubs and bar days are being forced to lose a bit and drink from the drip tray at the end of the night, this is a big step up for me.
I'm glad you think so, Cam. That's exactly the kind of high praise that we would like to heap on local. Is this one of the ones you're going to be bringing to the breakfast? I guess we should.
Thank you very much. That's another segue, yeah. David. Love that. This will be one of the ones we'll have a beer deluxe. We're tossing around what our second one will be, but this been the biggest release for us for the past it's going to last for another couple more months, so it'll be 12 months of this one being out in the market, and then we'll look at doing another surplus range. We'll explore what fruit is in the high demand, well, is in low demand at the moment, I guess, what's excess stock of, and then we'll pivot and produce something a bit different to see what we can do. But yeah, 12 months of this one, it's been amazing. I'm really gonna miss it.
Was it big over summer?
Massive.
Yeah, it tastes like a great sort of summer afternoon beer.
No, fantastic. I mean, we were selling out of it in keg, which is a great position to be in right in the middle of summer, having that beer that captures people's imagination. And yeah, haven't had a bad word on it, and really excited to be able to get it out to more people. And we've still got it for a little bit longer, and people will be able to see it out and about to be able to jump on. And double whammy. This is probably the best thing for this podcast for me to say, because I'm sure a listener will come along and prove me wrong.
Oh, they love that, can I tell you?
But when I've been out in the road market selling this one, I have been calling this Australia's most ethical beer.
Oh, you are throwing down there, my friend.
I know. So if anyone come along and prove me wrong, but every pint of this beer sold is a meal for someone in need, and the entire beer has been made using surplus stock that would otherwise go to landfill. If there's a more ethical beer out there, I definitely want to drink it.
Well, so it's a great challenge to throw out, because, I mean, even if you are proven wrong or you lose that challenge, like, everyone's a winner out of that.
Exactly.
Right. You're actually having a conversation about all the things that people should be having a conversation about.
Definitely.
So no losers there.
No, definitely. I'd like to be proven wrong. I mean, it gives us a challenge for our next one then. So, yeah, if anyone can get out there and have a crack, prove me wrong. No litigation, though. It's all talk over a beer, so I don't need to be proved wrong when it comes legally. But definitely a positive beer that I think has a great message.
As Cam said, this is a cracking beer, and I know I don't want to spend all of this episode talking about the Hair of the Dog breakfast, but Talina Menzies, if anyone has ever been along to any of the Hair of the Dog breakfasts before, they'll know that Talina is expert at crafting the breakfast dishes. I know that they have spent a lot of time thinking about this and these beers, and I can't wait to see what Talina chooses to pair up as the food thing to go with this. As a former restaurateur, I go, gee, I could do so much with this. I'm thinking sort of, and I have no idea what Talina's got in mind genuinely, but I'm sort of thinking you could do some breakfast waffles with a bit of nectarine or peach or things like that on it.
Love that.
A bit
love
of
that.
A bit of foam and things like that.
I thought a sorbet or something, you know, like a nectarine sorbet or, I love it, love it. It'd be really, it's going to be really great to be there on the event. And, I'll be down there at Beta Lux, and I know our head brew, Andrew Young, he'll be there as well. So if anyone wants to come up and have a chat about any of our beers on the day, definitely come along and see us.
It's an absolutely iconic day on the Melbourne beer scene. One of the ones that through all of the iterations that we've had in Melbourne Beer Life, Good Beer Week coming and going and other things, this one stayed on the agenda. We're going to talk a bit more about Pint of Origin and other things where you guys became sort of a bit more prominent last year. But let's use that as an opportunity to move on to the third beer in our glasses.
Yeah, look, this one is a special one. I personally think one of the most underappreciated styles of beers in nowadays is a golden ale. I might be a little bit biased on this. I've worked at previous breweries that where golden ales were very prevalent.
And then Two Birds, let's call it out. Two Birds especially.
Amazing golden ale.
Built their reputation on, amongst other things, the golden ale.
100%. And I don't know if it's just come out of fashion or it's people see it as a bit of a lost art making a solid golden ale, but this was the beer that we sort of pushed forward to brew. It was the first beer on our taproom series of brews. So we've got a real small kit down here that I know you guys have seen, that we just wanted to be able to really experiment and do different types and push the boundaries of what Yarnton can do when it comes to brewing different ones. And that being said, I think a really good go-to style like a golden ale was really great way for us to... If you can do a good representation of a classic style, from then on, everything else just clicks into place. And for me, I think this works a treat. It's very, very easy drinking. Literally brewed downstairs. We didn't have too many kegs of it, so it's very, very rare. You'll see it out and about at a couple of venues over the next few weeks. It's a banger. If you don't see it out there though, it will be on at the tap room for a little bit. We've got a couple of kegs we've kept squirreled away for ourselves. The first of what we're calling our tap room series of brews is just this delicious golden ale.
So I'll save Griffo having to step in and do the same little question for all the local cams of the world.
I was about to do it. You could see in my eyes.
But for all the local cams of the world like me who basically order lagers when they go out, we asked a question about the first beer, the IPA. What's a golden ale and what separates it from the other beers in terms of style or format or production?
Look, a golden ale's not too far off from a pale ale, but I'd probably say it goes in the opposite direction to the way the XBA does. The XBA goes that little bit more, whereas I think this is a toned down version of a pale ale. It's summer in the glass. I mean, I know it's probably not the best weather out there at the moment, blustery Melbourne weather as we've had today, but if you have a taste of this, it tastes like summer. It's really, really easy to drink. You get more of the malt characteristics coming through, but just perfectly balanced. Just a really, really well-balanced brew, which personally I'm a big fan of. I think you can overdo it on either aspect. You have too much malt, too much hops, and then you've just killed your beer. This and knowing what strengths that Andrew has, he's always brewed very consistent and balanced beers, and this was just a great way for us to go, look, we're local, you might have seen some of our other beers, now we're doing really, really small experimental batches, but just so you know, we can still make a really good go-to beer. So this was just a good place to start and get people interested in what some of our next beers after this will be.
Do you reckon this is going to be sort of the taproom beer at some point? Is this one to take over from the XPA in that sense?
I mean, it'd be great to see a resurgence of a golden ale. I'm sure I've got my own personal ambitions for a golden ale to be the go-to beer out there. It's almost a little bit more honey as well, which I absolutely love. And if we got to that point, it might stay on. I'm sure everyone's had a go to have it. We've got a pretty young staff here at the tap room, and they probably haven't had gold nails before. So it's really great to see people who are used to drinking your easy drinking lagers and everything like that to have a crack at a more traditional beer that really, it's the style of beer that catapulted craft beers in Australia. Yep. Like that sort of different but not alienating, and that's what this one's definitely meant to be.
Yeah, when I think back to sort of the first beers, not only that I was having, but we so often to talk to brewers and ask them about their first beers, it's this kind of style. And almost every time we talk about a particular brew, whatever it might be, and then talk about how it's changed and got watered down over time and it's no longer the one that people remember.
Yeah.
But so many of them are this kind of style.
Totally, totally. And I mean, we were saying before, people's buying habits are changing. The way people are drinking's changing. And I honestly think a gold nail will have its time to shine again. I think we'll go through the lager phase that's going on in the market at the moment, but give it a little bit longer and people are going to want that access, that accessible ale. And a golden works perfectly for that. So, yeah, definitely maybe a vision of things to come.
Now, speaking of things to come, the fourth beer in the lineup. Now, yeah. We're switching things up a bit here.
We're definitely switching things up. We started safe with our first beer on the tap room. We wanted to go with a more traditional style. But yeah, we were luckily invited to produce a beer for our friends at the Mill.
Love the Mill. Shout out to the Mill.
Love the Mill. Shout out. They're a great event that we went along to. And they're our local neighbours. So we're all about being good to our locals. And yeah, they have
local Cam goes by a different name down at the Mill, but we won't talk about that.
I have to change suburb to suburb.
Does the famous moustache come out
when
you go down the Mill?
It's a lot to remember.
Yeah. Local Hector Rodriguez, as he's known.
Too many of the Dark Lord Black IPAs down there. Or?
Griffo's checking his notes in his phone for which episode we last mentioned a beer, and I have to check it every time the Uber gets into a new suburb. Who am I here?
Love that. Well, it was a great time. The team went along on Friday to sort of celebrate it. We filled the keg on Friday morning and took it off. It felt like Blackman's Brewery doing a same-day delivery. But we took this one down, and it's the whole premise of the event is fresh hop harvest. It was all about using fresh from the vine hop cones in the brew. Really pushed a lot of the brewers, I think, who were making stuff. I know everyone's... No one tends to operate in the fresh hops on a regular basis, so it was a bit of a challenge to work out what style of beer we wanted to do. And knowing Andrew, our head brewer, knowing where his strengths lie, I think we pushed to want to do a delicious red. Coming into autumn, I thought it was a good time for it, and this is our hoppy red ale. So it uses, like I mentioned earlier, fresh Galaxy hop cones that we took from the farms up north. Drove them down the car, went straight into this beer, same week, and yeah, absolutely banging beer. 6%, so it drinks very easily for a 6%.
Sure does.
Beer. But just a really big red. I love a red ale. I like a more darker beer, and getting to really get I know it's my go-to word whenever I talk about the beers, but getting that perfect balance of hops and malt, this is where you get to really shine and flex your muscles as a brewer. And knowing how good Yarnton is at his job, I knew he'd be able to make something really, really cracking. And yeah, this one's very, very exciting. Very limited batch, so definitely come along and have it on tap at the tap room while you can. But you might see it at some of our close friends' venues.
Go and shout out a few of the good ones.
Well, I sort of kicked a Grape and Grain down in Moorabbin, so I know Mark will be putting this on tap pretty soon. Loves his reds down there, and he was one of the first ones I thought of to make sure that he locks one of these in. So, yeah, definitely going to get
classic,
out
classic
there.
Melbourne venue, get along.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of my faves. So yeah, making sure we get something out there that fits for the season, but also really shows off what we're about now. I think we've had a big change with staff and personnel, with crew. I mean, I know I've come on board, and the way that Yarnton as well, and our whole sales team as well, is completely fresh. So any venues or anyone listening to it, you're going to see some fresh faces than probably what you might have seen. And there's a lot of experience here now. So there's a lot of wise heads driving the working together with the wise heads that are already here, but in a more industry-focused knowledge. And yeah, having something like this is just a treat. It's an absolute treat and something to really get behind out there as a way to go, hey, if you want to do something a bit different, if you want to try something a bit different, we're the ones that can do that now as well. So yeah, it's really exciting position to be in. I mean, it helps. It's also really tasty.
Yeah. I mean, I can see the genuine sort of passion and excitement in your face and your expressions and hear it in your voice. And I can only, coming back to that word you've used a couple of times about balance, for all the listeners of the podcast who do dabble in brewing, or the brewers who are part of this podcast community, it must just be so rewarding when you get that balance right, given all the experimentation, the different things you can do with all the different ingredients and ideas that you have. Like, totally. When you get it as right as you get this, what a reward.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a real great place to be as well, where, like, you know, you can end up in an established brewery that's got people know what, I won't say people's names, but people know what a Deeds beer is, or people know what a Hawker's beer is, or anything like that. I think it's really exciting to be part of something where people might not know what a local beer is yet. And if they're out and about, they might get a completely different idea of what that is by having a really wide range of styles available. And it's just exciting to be part of something where we're able to be creative through the beer process. I mean, it is exciting. You said I get excited. Maybe that's why I've been in sales in the industry for so long. But yeah, look, I genuinely get excited when a beer that I absolutely love comes along and I get to be the one to have to push it and sell it. And these are great beers to be able to get behind. And I'm really excited for what's to come. I know currently right there, I can't say what they are just yet, but our beers for Gabs are in tank.
Okay. Give us a little hint. Hello. Are they lagers?
Full range of American-style lagers. No.
Mexican-style cervezas. Yeah, served in glass.
I feel like I'm being made fun of here.
Not just you.
We've got a very, very delicious. I've seen the process as going on. I might have helped Jan put some ingredients in the tank. We have a very delicious Imperial Sour coming along as one of our brews that'll be in there, of the strawberry variety. So
that's narrowing
tasty.
It down.
Yeah, exactly. It should be a very, very tasty drop. I've said too much.
Absolutely.
You got the hop scoops out of me last time. Yeah, you're getting them out of me this time. But yeah, it's really exciting to be part of that. To go back to a previous place that I worked at, I was with Tribe and Mornington Peninsula Brewery when they did the Viking beer, where they carved out a tree and they brewed it through the tree, and such an exciting thing to be a part of for Gabs. And now being able to be here and being at somewhere that is still young and being able to guide that and go, hey, let's make this, let's do this all together as a team. It's such an exciting time to brew up some really interesting beers that people won't go, oh, well, it's an Imperial Sour, that's just what local does usually, whatever. They'll look at it and go, I don't think I've ever seen them make something like that. I have to try it, because it's really that next step for us, and it's really that next step for the whole range of beers that we have.
And don't care to ask about the tree.
Well, no. I'm thinking about a hollowed-out tree and how that would work. But
It was amazing. It had the video with the pine trees all through it. Yeah, fantastic. It was at the lab when Mornington was still brewing down at Mornington. Had the tree, this full hollowed-out log that was there, coming from the tank down the line into the next barrel. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Maybe down the road when we've got a little bit more...
Not too many trees in Clifton Hill that we could do that with, I reckon.
Yeah, we'll probably get caught cutting one down. But it's just exciting, I think, when we get more people. The team is constantly being added to by people who are passionate about the industry, and I think we'll start coming up with some really interesting stuff.
We'll know something's amiss if there's no shade in Darling Gardens in next summer. But I've got to say, you're excited about all this. I mean, it's pretty exciting as a local to have something like a little wonderland like this just around the corner that you can pop into and get this full experience, you know, any day of the week.
That's it, 100%. And, yeah, I think we'll be really creative what we do here. And best place to see it is just come down to the tap room, and I'm sure you'll see a new beer every time you come in now, which is a great place to be.
Look, Cam, you've picked up on this. I wanted to pick up on the word excitement, because what I get excited about, and I mean this genuinely, is other people's excitement. Blake, we've known each other for years and years. To see you in a place here where you're clearly keyed into what the team's all about, your excitement about what's coming forward is just bonza. I love this as a 50-year-old man, as I am now. It's just great to see that sort of level of excitement from people.
Thanks, David. Thank you. We have known each other for a few years now, and I'm sure you've seen me at different levels of excitement. But, it genuinely is. It's. I'm the old hand here. I'm the wise words coming along to impart knowledge, which is a very interesting position to be in.
Yeah, interesting is one word. Yeah. Worrying would be another. No, that's
I love the challenge. No, it's great. I think it's coming into a place that it's like we're really forging our identity. I think we can really change it. Change and be a part of whatever the next few years is in a pretty volatile industry, but an industry that we all love, and I think will constantly be here. I don't think people are going to suddenly stop drinking craft beers.
It's exciting, it's creative, it's exciting to have local Cam joining us as a co-host today. And what's super exciting, you might even be getting this in the background of the podcast now, is that it's Wednesday night at Local Brewing. Trivia is kicking off.
That's it.
And I reckon we need to get down there and be part of that. Cam, Blake, thank you for being part of the show. It's absolutely excellent tasting these excellent beers, and to be looking forward to the Hair of the Dog breakfast at Beer Deluxe.
Love it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much. Pleasure to be here.